Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we start out with a couple of comments about reading the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mining the Bible for all its substantial wealth. So often, we today are interpreting the Bible in a way in which it is not intended to be interpreted. For example, to interpret the Bible literally is to interpret the Bible as literature. Thus, when a biblical author uses a symbol or an allegory, we do violence to his intentions if we interpret him literalistically. A literalistic method of interpretation often does as much violence to the biblical text as does a spiritualized interpretation that empties the text of all objective meaning. So to avoid either extreme, you should be one who adeptly employs the literal principle of biblical interpretation, paying careful attention to form or genre, figurative language, and even fantasy imagery. In doing so, you should ever be mindful that though the Bible must be read as literature, it is not merely literature, it is divinely inspired literature. And therefore, we must pray for the grace by which the Holy Spirit sheds divine light upon the inspired text. And this mining that I'm talking about is not dependent upon academic degrees. It is proportional to diligence. As you dig, the Spirit will continue to illumine your mind. Now, that's what Paul says. He says, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us." A thorough understanding of the Bible cannot be attained, however, unless you grasp basic rules, grammar, the rules that govern the relationship and usages of words, and that includes syntax, style, and semantics. And then remember that the Christian faith is historic and evidential. And therefore, the biblical text is best understood when you're familiar with the customs and the culture and the historical context of biblical times. Unless and until you understand historical context, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, you have little hope of grasping the meaning of a biblical text. And then remember that in Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. And therefore, there's a divinely intended pattern of events encompassing both historical correspondence and intensification, and you only grasp that when you read the Bible as a whole. The whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual passages, and you cannot comprehend the Bible as a whole if you don't comprehend its individual passages, just as you cannot comprehend its individual passages without comprehending the Bible as a whole. I've actually developed a primer so that you can remember and apply all of this in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. And the operative word is memorable. I've presented it all in such a way that you can not only read it, but you can remember it, and therefore you can use it as for the rest of your life you apply the art and the science of biblical interpretation. Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Mark in Maryland, listening on the web. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, the irony of you just talking about what you were was exactly my question. You know, the Bible is so divinely inspired and supernaturally assembled and created, and so much effort was put into that. I often wonder why it is so easily misunderstood, and there's so many bad theologies out there and debates about what this means and what that means. I mean, you could spend a lifetime studying just a few books of the Bible. So, you know, why wouldn't God have written it like a children's book? So it was just it's so easy to understand. I mean, I would venture to say that a lot of these bad teachers out there believe that they're teaching the proper things, and they're obviously not in a lot of cases. So I just wonder why it's so difficult and so complicated just to read the Bible.
Well, a couple of things I would say in response to that. On the one hand, it is as simple as a children's book. It is so simple that a child can understand it. And yet it is so deep that a theologian can drown in it. And when we say it, we must also remember that the it is a treasure chest. It's abounding in literary genres. You have poetry and psalms, historical narratives, epistles, apocalyptic revelations. And to comprehend, therefore, the entirety of Scripture takes a lifetime of diligent study. But, you know, the truth of the matter is essential Christian doctrine, which, as I mentioned, is simple enough for a child to understand, are what we call the main and the plain things. The other issues are much more difficult, and they take a lot of elbow grease, a lot of work.
Right, yeah. I've been a Christian my whole life. I'm almost 40. And the more I learn, the more I realize how wrong I've been, you know, over my life and just the way I think and what I believe. And, you know, I often think of some of my family members that are in, like, Word of Faith type churches. And I for 50-some years, and they their whole lives have believed that they're going the right direction. And I'm finding out in my adult life that maybe that's not the right way to go. And I almost feel bad for them that they don't maybe know the truth as much as I do. So it just, you know, it's just hard to understand, you know, which has made a lot of sense, though. A lot of it is very easy to understand. And I think it's great that it is complex and complicated, because it does get you to dig in there deep and study it, and it make almost a lifetime hobby of it. So I can see your point.
Yeah, it's a wonderful art and science that we should apply our lives to. And when I say art and science, what I mean is that a science in that rules apply, an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. And so what I've done actually to help people in this regard is I did a flip chart. It's 4x6, it's laminated, so it's easy to put in a pocket or a purse, and it's what's called memorable keys to understanding what God has said, lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. So it gives you an outline. In fact, lights is the memorable outline that provides the principles, and then how to apply those principles to reading the Bible for all it's worth, or mining it for all its wealth. So it's pretty cool. It's memorable, and it's something that you can apply day by day and get better and better at it.
All right, well, thanks so much. You really cleared it up, and I appreciate your time.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And remember, there's fantasy imagery in the Bible. When I say that, sometimes people scratch their heads and say, fantasy imagery? But yes, if you look at apocalyptic passages in Scripture, they're replete with fantasy imagery. You have an enormous red dragon, for example, with 7 heads, with 10 horns. You have a beast that resembles a leopard, has feet like a bear, has a mouth like a lion. And what is a distinction with regard to these kinds of images is that they don't correspond to anything in the real world. But while they are unreal as images, they provide a realistic means by which to ponder reality. And of course, throughout the ages, there have been Christian writers from John Bunyan to Tolkien to C.S. Lewis who have emulated the biblical use of fantasy imagery to underscore cardinal truths of a historic Christian worldview. In fact, William Gurnall uses the otherworldly image of a man's head on a beast's shoulders in order to highlight the reality that righteousness without truth is abhorrent. And so he uses an imaginary troll and in the process portrays an invisible truth. So it's really important to, as I said, learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth is a memorable means by which you can master the principles of biblical interpretation in minutes and then remember them for a lifetime. Again, it is a memorable tool, and it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can make your gift online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Guy. He's listening in Tyler, Texas on the web. Hi, Guy.
Oh, hi, Hank. Hey, I had just finished a book called The New Evangelicalism, written by Paul Smith. And the premise of the book was about Rick Warren and the emerging church and the ties to Peter Drucker and purpose-driven structure kind of put together by Drucker for Warren, and that Drucker felt like the mega church would serve a purpose of community for people, and that the basic postmodern theology of it would be kind of like we have today of attacking inerrancy and intolerance and things like that, that Christ isn't the only way, and you know, all the different things about Scripture can't be absolute truth. I just wondered if you'd heard of it and what you thought it were.
Well, yeah, I have heard of it, and certainly it does report and analyze the movement away from the doctrine of inerrancy and does focus on some of the people that you've mentioned. But also, I think what the problem is that it then takes the next leap and says that this sets the stage for a one-world religion that will triumph during the tribulation, after the rapture of the church, and so forth. So on the one hand, it is criticizing legitimately a move from inerrancy, although you have a mixture of truth and error in the book in terms of who it's criticizing and how. But then on the other hand, it falls into a lot of the sensationalism and sophistry that has plagued the church in terms of biblical literacy, in terms of reading the Bible and interpreting the Bible rightly, as opposed to wild sensationalism and sophistry. So it's kind of a mixture of good and bad.
Yeah, the last part of the book, which took that turn, I really wasn't interested in, but from my own standpoint, I've had kind of an uneasiness for a while of the shallow direction of where the church has gone, and the megachurch seems to have contributed a lot to that.
Well, that's right. But also you have a great shallowness in terms of people in a post-Christian age when we stand in the shadow of the Bible rather than the pages of the Bible. The tragedy that I find is that people who today are interpreting the Bible are doing so wrongly and so sensationalistically. They take Revelation and they make it a book of riddles that seems to suit the shallow post-Christian mind. But it's not a book of riddles, it's a book of symbols. They're deeply rooted in Old Testament history. And the reason that people misunderstand them is because they don't know their Bibles. And John repeatedly reminds us that his prophetic words are in keeping with the words of the Old Testament prophets. But the interpretations that you find of, particularly the book of Revelation, are just horrifying. And they belie a misunderstanding of the Bible in general. And that's the problem today. People are preaching their pet doctrines as opposed to being immersed in knowing Scripture.
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Hey, I'm a longtime listener, read some of your books as well. Really appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lance. He's in Huntsville, Alabama. Hi, Lance.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I was hoping you could provide some advice for me on prayer. I've personally been struggling in prayer in a couple of different areas. I guess the first one is, when I pray for people, I feel I must say every person's name. I can't just, like if I'm praying for the lost people, I can't just say pray for the lost. I have to say every name, or I feel that, you know, I'm not doing a good service. And another way that I have struggle in prayer is that when I have, we all have distractions when we pray. And when I pray and I'm distracted, I feel like I must start the prayer over. So I know it's kind of more legalistic, but it's just really struggling. And when you're doing this, it just hurts the most. It's the devil attacking the most personal relationship you have to, you know, to commune with God. So I just wondered if you had any advice for me.
Yeah, well, I think you just touched on something that's very important, and that is prayer is ultimately a means of building a relationship with the lover of your soul, and out of that, everything else flows. So keep that in mind. And Jesus was the model for that. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed because he desired fellowship with his Heavenly Father. So if we understand the purpose and the provision of prayer, we can get away from a legalistic practice and recognize that it's like a child going to their Heavenly Father and saying, Abba, Father, I love you. I want relationship with you. And in doing that, you realize that God knows all of our needs. Before a word is on our tongue, he knows it completely. He's hemmed us in behind and before. He's laid his hand upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us, too lofty for us to attain. So he knows all of our needs just as a father knows the needs of his children. Our Heavenly Father knows all of our needs perfectly. And therefore, we can rely in the fact that if we build a relationship with him, everything will flow from that beautifully and effectively.
Okay, and then as far as distractions in your prayer, is that something we're going to have distractions, right, in a prayer time?
Well, I think so, but I also think that it's important to realize that all of us should have a secret place. It's a place where you can drown out the static of the world and hear the voice of your Heavenly Father. And so I would really recommend that you find a place that you can go to, and that's your place with God. Your secret place is different than mine, but the point is we desperately need a place away from the invasive sounds of this world so that we can hear the sounds of another place and another voice.
All right, thanks a lot, Hank.
You got it. And this is one of the things I've talked about in a book called The Prayer of Jesus, because if we're honest with ourselves, most of us have learned to pray backwards. We hurry into God's presence. We have a laundry list of requests, and before our knees have ever touched the ground, we're already thinking about getting back into a frenzied lifestyle. And so what are we doing? Well, we're treating our Heavenly Father no better than we treat our families. We want relationship without the discipline of investing quality time. So we should all think and ponder our prayer life. Could it be that it's characterized by constant babbling? Could it be that our shallow askings are drowning out the sound of the very one, the voice we so long to hear? Remember, the genuine prayer is not found in our noisy askings. It's found in a growing relationship with God. All too often, we want God to move the fence posts and enlarge our houses and lands, but God wants something far better for us. He wants us to be still so that he can enlarge the territory of our heart. And he has sent us love letters. They're etched in heavenly handwriting. And the more we meditate upon those words, the clearer his voice will resonate in the sounds of our silence. And that's the goal. Again, the book that I've written in this regard, it's called The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And I think that once you learn the model prayer and how to use it in your own prayer life, you will find a big difference in your relationship with God. It is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out online at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nate in New Mexico. Hi, Nate.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I've been kind of really struggling with something and just studying the scriptures and looking at, you know, what's right. I mean, I think this is a no-brainer, but just to get your thought on this, is it necessarily right to, you know, accommodate another person's religious needs or religious outlook or viewpoints, you know, knowing full well that what they believe is wrong? Is it right to just accommodate that and be expected to accommodate that?
Well, what we're called to be is not cultural conformists. We're not called to conform ourselves to the culture. What we are called to be is transformational agents. So rather than conforming to the culture, we transform the culture. That's what we're called to be, ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The problem is most of us, as I've said many times in the broadcast, are secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. But what we are called to do is transform culture. In the early Christian church, that's what Christians did. That's why a church that was originally fraught with scattered disciples ended up being a church that was led by lions of the faith. They had seen the resurrected Christ, and now they were no longer content to be politically correct. They want to transform the culture, and that's what eventually happened. Rome was transformed. The problem then, of course, became once Rome was Christianized, Christians came into the church, and they were fed, but all kinds of other people came into the church for all the wrong reasons, not because they loved the master, but because they loved what was on the master's table, and then the church devolved again. So this is an epic struggle in every epoch of time. It is, are we going to be conformed to the culture, or are we going to transform the culture? You see in many places where the church is being persecuted, they're transforming the culture. Unfortunately, Christians in post-Christian America are being transformed by the culture instead. Going to have to leave it at that. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time right here with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.